the first Sunday in the month of September. We have had 9 glorious months in this year, Lord, and the 9th month is the month that we deliver. We thank you, God, for you have impregnated us throughout the early part of the year. And now, God, we're beginning to see things come to pass. We thank you, God, for trusting us to deliver. We thank you, God, for trusting us through the period of incubation. Lord, we kept it to ourselves, but now we must release that great thing that you've had in us. For we believe and know it to be true that greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. Lord, make us excited again about what you are bringing to pass. Make us excited again about that which is sprouting up and out of us so that the world will know that we have been with you. We are being used by you. We've been blessed by you. We have been trusted by you. And so, God, we pray this morning that we will now begin to take care of that which has been delivered in us. We thank you, God, even right now, for these who have gathered with us. We thank you for my neighbor to the left, to the right of me. We thank you for the person behind me. We thank you for the person that's going to join me. Because we believe, Lord, in this 9th month of the year, all of us have something to bring forth. And Lord, we can hardly wait to see what my neighbor brings forth. I can hardly wait to see what my neighbor delivers. I can hardly wait to see what my neighbor's been hiding for 9 whole months. Now, God, we see now is the time. And we pray, God, that we'll get excited about our time to bring something out. Lord, we've watched everybody else bring theirs. Now it's my turn. And I thank you, God, for trusting me with this little old thing. And God, we ask now that you begin to give increase to that which is being delivered. In Jesus' name we pray. And God, help us to fight the enemy with a good fight. Lord, in this month of delivery, let us not lay down again. Let us not turn back again. Let us not shrink away, God, but give us that wherewithal that we'll fight for what we believe in. We'll fight for what you've entrusted to us. We'll fight for that which has been kept in secret. Because, Lord, we believe that you're doing something great and awesome in me. Lord, I know my neighbor's got it going on, but I've got it going on too. And I thank you, God, for trusting me with mine. Lord, I'm not going to have to be jealous. I'm not going to have to be envious. I'm not going to have to roll my eyes or suck my teeth, because we're going to all have something to celebrate, because the 9th month is everybody's month. And God, we bless you right now. We can't go any further than the 9th month. That's just the way it is. And so, God, thank you right now in the name of Jesus that I carried it all the way and it's my delivery time. God, I bless you even right now. I wasn't too old for it. I wasn't too young for it. I wasn't too inexperienced for it. You trusted me with it. I didn't know in January, Lord, what you were doing. I didn't know in February, March, nor April. But I see it now, God. I feel it now. I rejoice now because it's time to bring it out. And God, I thank you right now that you let me live long enough that I can bring it out. God, I just want to shout thank you for letting me bring it out. It is in Jesus' name I pray. Amen, amen, amen. Y'all don't know how to get excited. I just told y'all some good news. Amen. 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 I've been praying. I've never seen anybody that delivered a child not have somebody get excited about it. I've never seen anybody go, oh, this, all you did was had a baby. No, this is the 9th month. Y'all. This is the 9th month. And if it hadn't come yet, it's coming any day now. Oh, y'all don't. Come on now. You got to see that. How many of you ladies who had a baby, you know what I'm talking about. Any day, when they say, oh, it ain't going to be long now, everybody get excited. People start calling you, how, did it come yet? Did it come yet? That's what you want to start happening right now in your life in Christ Jesus. Y'all ain't talking to me. Y'all don't let me get disappointed. I ain't been sleeping on this one. I'm telling you now. September. It's the 9th month. You were here at Watch Night and you were here on the first Sunday and you said, God, do something in 2016. And I'm telling you, it's the 9th month. If you don't feel it yet, it's moving. I can tell you that. It's kicking. It's trying to get out because God is calling for the church to deliver. And, okay. All right. Now, I'll teach you to preach it somewhere else. Y'all don't want to hear it. Y'all don't want to hear it. Okay, so y'all don't want to hear it. But anyway, I believe that there is something tremendous in all of you. And let me tell you something I've learned. Whenever you hang around people who don't want anything, it begins to take away from you your expectations. You don't want to live in dry places. You don't want to be in a place where there's barrenness. There's an old saying that grandma taught us that said that, well, I'm sweating. Y'all missed that. I tell you, I could have preached right there. Grandma used to say that birds of a feather would flock together. And so you don't want to be in a buzzard herd. You want to be with eagles. Even if you're not an eagle, hang around an eagle and folk will think you're one of them. They may think you're just a distant cousin or something. But if you hang around the right people, you tend to get different results. Amen. Sometimes, you know, we call it just getting on the bandwagon. You know, you want to make sure that you're riding or hanging out with people who have expectations. You know, when I was a little bit younger and didn't have resources, I hung around folk who had resources. And they'd say, come on, let's go to lunch. And I say, all right, you know, and we get there, and somebody else say, I got it, don't worry about it. You know, y'all missing it. Okay. You have to realize something now. You're not alive for nothing. You are still, listen, we're really beginning to realize now. Here's the reality, and this is a hard reality for any pastor to face, but here's the reality. We are really a remnant church. We're just hanging on. We are what's left behind. We are the ones who decided we weren't going to quit. We weren't going to leave Brookville. We weren't going to walk away from our ministry. We weren't going to. Come on. And that's something to be said about what God is trusting you with. Let me tell you something. It takes more trust, faith, understanding, desire to be the remnant people than to be the people in Moss, because when everybody's there, it's easy because there's more people to do it. Y'all missing it. You ought to get excited by just because God has trusted you to keep it alive. Oh, come on, man. I can't be the only one. That's the only thing keeping me going, is that I believe now that God is trusting me with something that he couldn't trust nobody else with. He couldn't trust 500 people with it. He couldn't. Okay, can we talk about Abraham for a minute? When the angel of the Lord shows up, he says, well, Lord, listen, if I can get 50 good folk to do it. The Lord said, okay, go ahead. He said, well, I know these people. Lord, if I can get maybe 40 good folk. But when it got down to it, look who he trusted. Just a small people. You ought to get excited. I know it's frustrating. I know it's hard. It's going to take a lot out of us. But when our reward of delivery comes, come on. God is saying, I know you're a little bit older than everybody else. I know you've been here a long time. I know you're new and thought it was going to be different. I know you're young and don't want to waste your years. But God is saying, trust me in this. I kept you because I could trust you. I had to let everybody else go because I couldn't trust them. Let me tell you something. God lets some people walk away. Come here, Jesus. In John 6, they're standing around. There's a whole lot of them there. Jesus announces that it's about to get hard. Jesus announces that the focus of the ministry is about to change. Jesus announces that we're no longer going to do what everybody else is doing. You're going to have to eat of this flesh. And a whole lot of folk walk. Jesus didn't move. Jesus just stood there, and after the dust settled and all of the rumbling stopped, he said, well, y'all going? He even gave them an option to go. Even them that yet remain, he said, listen, if you still want to go, you can go right ahead. But I'm staying with the Lord. I'm staying because I know that God has trusted me. Not Moses, not Abraham, not God has called me to do this. Now, and that's why y'all throw your hands up every now and then. When people say, you still at Brookville? Yeah, because God has called me to do this now. He's not going to bring back Elliot. He's not going to raise Hall from the grave. He's not going to go get Spear. He's not looking for Gene Johnson. He's not looking for Disman. He says, you're here. And the reason you're still here is I trust you with what I couldn't trust them with. And you ought to be glad they gone because they would have slowed you up. How many know if you pack light, you move faster? Amen. Look at your neighbor and say, we might be running thin, but we're running faster. Yeah, yeah. Don't listen. God told me, don't worry about who's not with you. I'm with you, and the few others that are with you are a good crowd. God said, I'll promote you even in a thin time. Y'all ain't talking to me. I've been looking at this from every angle, and I realized something that I want you to know. You have nothing to hang your head about. It's September. And everything that I hear God saying is about delivery. It's about now bringing forth. It's about promotion. God is saying, okay, you carried it the full term. Now watch what I do. Amen. Boy, y'all must not get no sleep last night. I didn't either. But let me tell you why. Because what God is saying to us is simply this. Think about when you looked on your child's face for the first time. How excited you were. You know, when you saw those ultrasounds, that didn't tell you nothing. You just saw the shape or the outline. But the first time you saw that face, you said, ooh, look at my baby. And, you know, no matter what nobody else thought about your baby, you thought a whole lot about your baby. Somebody came and said, well, he ain't got no hair. Don't worry about it. Hair can grow, you know. And, ooh, he a little short, fat thing. That's all right. You see what I'm saying? You have to get excited about this September. God is saying to all of you, I trust you. You have gone the distance. You have come through. Others aborted. Others walked away. Others said, I don't want to have to do that. Let me tell you something. There are people who are literally proud to do nothing. You work with them. Some of you live with them. You know them. I keep my hands out of it. I ain't got time for that mess that be going on in the church. Mess go on everywhere. Mess go on at work, you still go to work. Mess go on in our house, you still go home sometime. You know. It's always something. Mess happened driving down the road. Mess happened at the football game. Amen. How many UVA fans you think were really happy yesterday? But they went to the game. They kind of thought, you know, these spiders might sneak up on us. But they went. How many Liberty fans you think went on over there to Blacksburg? No, they knew Virginia Tech was going to drop it in them. But they said, know what? We're going to try anyhow. Why is it we'll go everywhere else and try except church? Y'all ain't talking to me. We'll go everywhere else. We'll tailgate. I went to watch a football game myself yesterday. And I'm going up 29. All these UVA flags just flying. I thought to myself, boy, y'all better hope. Poor Mendenhall, I wish him well. But they went. We got folks sitting home right now. I'm not going up there. Ain't nothing happening. He ain't doing nothing but fussing and saying the same old thing. Well, you go everywhere else. You go to your job and the boss always raising hell. You go, some of us live with people. That's all they do. Fuss and complain, fuss and complain. But you go home every day. You drive an old raggedy car that you can't count on, but you get in it and say, come on, Lord, one more time. We live around broke down stuff. We live around disappointment. Why quit on God? Come on, talk to me, somebody. I should preach this. Why quit on God? You got brokenness everywhere else in your life. You got disappointment everywhere else in your life, but it's September. You hung in there. It's the ninth month. It came after the eighth month, which was new. Y'all ain't talking to me. It came after the seventh month, which is perfection. And y'all ain't talking to me. You made it. It's September. Now it's time to say, God, woo, look at that. Look what you trusted me with. You know how many parents have birthed children that were not perfect, but they said, God, this is mine. And I see it all the time. People walk around and children have what we call deformities, but that parent ain't walking around with their head hung down. In fact, they catch you staring, they look at you, you got a problem? Come on, talk to me. So don't you be ashamed of what your church looked like. It's the ninth month. Don't let them talk it down. Don't let nobody look at you and say, if I were you, I'd go somewhere else. No, I'm staying right where I am because God trusts me with this. I'm not going to let God trust me to the ninth month and then quit on him before I start doing some of that 10th month stuff. Now I got to start nourishing and providing for. God trusts you with this. I know you're young, you're scared, but you're going to stop being scared. I know, I'm looking at you. I know you say, oh, here he go again. But trust me, I pray for your strength. I saw your picture on Facebook yesterday. I said, she's becoming a real woman now. Not that you were not a real woman, but I saw that picture, and that's not the child that came into this church many years ago. It's time for you to be trusted with something. Amen. Y'all ain't talking to me. See, I'm telling you now that what we want is the word says that we ought to encourage each other. That's why when you go in the delivery room, they hold your hand and say, come on, push. Do you work in labor and delivery yet? You ain't had that privilege? Man, listen, I've had the privilege of being in the delivery room a couple times. Ain't nothing like it. You know, I wasn't one of them pass out guys. I was one of them when they say, please, sir, get out the way. I'm all over them. I'm trying to, I say, the doctor say, Mr. Mitchell, you really need to move back. I said, well, I got the masking thing on. My wife had a couple of cesareans because she was a little narrow. And I said, can I grab him? That man said, please, sir, would you crawled me. Dr. Biggerstaff, he delivered two of my children. And I'm all up on him. I'm like, he said, Leroy, please back up a little. He said, you can't put your hands. I said, I got the gloves on. That's mine. You know, but I'm telling you, I'm one of those people, and I need you to be one of those people that will go for God. This is our time. You didn't live this long for nothing. You can't think like that. You cannot believe that you're here to waste away. We come this far by faith. And the same faith that brought us through our experience in the wilderness, that crossed the Red Seas, that got us through the bill payments, the late payments, the phone call, the heartache, the medication, the extensive time in the doctor's office, the standing before the judge crying, walking up and down the hall, going down to the jail, all of that. Was because God trusted you. Not every mother can go to the courthouse. Not everybody can take all of them pills. Not everybody can go through cancer. Not because some folk, as soon as they hear it, they want to blow their brains out. You know how many people commit suicide because of chronic diagnosis? But you didn't. You said, no, I'm going to live one more day because tomorrow they might find. There's a commercial from MD Anderson say we're going to kill cancer. They got cancer, strike that. See, You have been through it all too. There's not one of us in here that does not have a testimony of grief, sorrow, disappointment, heartache, betrayal. But we kept walking because we had something in us. And even when nobody couldn't see our little bump, we knew there was something in us. Something was making us sick in the morning. Something kept us up at night. Something made me go when nobody else would go. And even when nobody didn't think we were worth having it, God said, I got you. When they didn't think we could find somebody to be our somebody, God said, I got you. And then when they saw us with somebody, they thought we were above our pay grade with our somebody. They even whispered, what you doing with her? Why are you hanging out with him? You could do better. They said, no, I actually got a promotion by hanging out with him. Come on, how many know you promoted people by hanging out with you? People do good hanging out with you. Y'all ain't celebrating yourself. People, listen, I told Ms. Mitchell all the time, you did real well. You married some of them bums that I saved you. Amen. Y'all get home, tell the person you love, I saved you. I kept you out of a whole lot of heartache. If you'd have married some of them people you knew, you'd have been down at the pole house right now. Amen. At least we outside the poor house. We ain't in the poor house. Amen. You elevated some people's life. Amen. That's why the Bible says you're light and salt, and the world needs you. Oh, y'all ain't getting happy. The world needs you. And God said, I trust you with it because it's your turn. You know, in the hospital, they're not just one baby being born. They get crowded up there sometimes. And don't you think you can't get a table? Don't you think you can't get a room? You may have to wait in the lobby for a little while. You may have to wait until your insurance get approved, but they're going to give you a room. You know why? Because you ready to deliver. They say, "Ooh, we got to rush this one right on in. Your water done broke." Amen. You have gone full term, but it's time now. Oh, y'all ain't getting excited. It's your turn. You don't have to be envious. You don't have to be jealous. You can go in that room, do your little thing, and take all them pictures too. And be proud. Because now you can start thinking about the future glory. You can say, ooh, in that movie, The Life and Story of Miss Jane Pittman, when they look at them babies and say, is you the one? You need to start asking yourself about what God has trusted you with and say, is this going to be the gift that turns my church around? Is this going to be the gift that turn our young lives around? Is this going to be the gift that makes my church strong and vibrant, visible and vocal again? Is my singing going to be the song that turns it? You know, it don't take but one to turn it. All you got to do is be able to look back and say, that was the moment right there. Come on, anybody looking for a moment? You got to live your life so that you can say, that was the moment. I told you the other week when we were in Bible Academy about Paul, when the Lord knocked him off his beast, every time somebody asked him, he said, that was the moment. And I told you the other night, some of y'all don't come on Thursday, but you ought to. But I told you then, you need to have a moment. You need to know when God turned your life around, and you can tell people, I didn't even realize what that was then, but I can look back now. That's why Grandma and them sang that song, said, when my soul looked back in wonder, because that was my moment. Anybody know they got a moment? God is saying to you, I gave you a moment. Don't miss your moment. That's your testimony. Your testimony should not be about what you drive or where you live or how much money you make. Your testimony should be, I met a man. Y'all ain't talking to me. I'm the only one. You got to be able to say to people, I met a man and everything changed. You got to be like Mary and say, well, whatever you're saying, so be it. Because I know some of what I'm saying this morning, and you know, some of y'all sitting there thinking, I don't know what he had for breakfast. I ain't had no breakfast. I ain't slept much either. This is heavy on my heart because I believe that God is trusting us to deliver. We ain't too skinny for it. We ain't too small for it. You ever seen a little bitty woman when she's pregnant? You think, they say, oh my God, poor dear. How in the world is she going to carry all that? You ever heard old folks say stuff like, there ain't nothing but baby. Little bitty woman. You know, walking, leaning over, and everybody said, ooh, child, how you making? He said, oh, I don't know. I'm so small. And like I said, my wife had to have cesareans because she was a little bitty girl, you know. And people said, girl, how you going? She said, I just do what they tell me. I mean, and because she was a little narrow thing back then, you know, and every one of them had to be cesarean, you know, and she cried. And first time we went in there, the doctor said, well, we're going to have to come. Yeah, they're going to come. I said, look at here. Look at here. That thing got to come out now. The man said they gonna do a little thing called a bikini cut, whatever that meant. I said, you don't even wear no bikini, so what you got to worry about? You wear them old granny bathing suit with the little skirt and everything. You good to go. You ain't got nothing to worry about. And all that crying you do, come on, doc, let's go. And the doctor said, well, you know, you speaking for her. She got to say something for her. I said, I'll sign it. Put her under drug. We going on, doc. Give me the knife. You got old Bushy knife over there. I hear me. But you got to understand that you're not inadequate. You're not too small. You're not too old. You haven't been around too long. You're not too inexperienced. You ain't been a deacon but a couple years. But you know, God trusts you with it. Time to step up now. You done waddled around and you done missed meals and throwed up half of what you ate. God said, all right, bring it out now. I trust you with it. Ain't no such thing as you too small a people. No such thing as you don't make enough money. There's no such thing as you've been around too long. It's your time now. Yes, sir. It is absolutely the ninth month for all of us. And every one of us that went to a watch night service, every one of us that celebrated the 1st of January, that was possibility. That was the impregnating moment. Every one of you probably stood up on the 1st of January and said, this year is going to be different. How many of you made yourself promises, proposals, resolutions on the 1st day of January? None of y'all? I'm the only one got my hand up. Nobody? Y'all didn't want nothing? Y'all fooling me. I know not one of y'all got up on the 1st day of January and didn't say something about yourself. Lord, this is going to be my year. Lord, I'm going to do better. Well, no wonder we falling off the wheel. Y'all don't want nothing. Well, we got to roll the calendar back. All I done said for the last 30 minutes didn't mean nothing. You got to want, I want something every day. Every morning I get up, I ask God to trust me with the next thing. Remember that sermon I preached some months ago? Your next starts now? That's expectation. Because whatever you're working for, you got to do something now. You can't plan to go on a long trip and don't buy gas, don't make reservations, don't look at the site you're going to. Y'all don't travel like that, do you? When you go places, don't you call ahead and say, well, listen, I'm going to be there on such and such, booking.com, hotel.com, Trivago, Expedia, Travelocity. Y'all ain't never heard of none of these people. That's how we go now. We don't use travel agents anymore. That business about gone. We don't need them. You can go online. Get the same price, if not better. And let me tell you a little trick. When you get the price online, call the hotel and say, listen, I was online looking at your website, but I got a little better price. And they'll say, oh, yeah? Last week, my wife and I, kids, we took a little vacation, went to a resort, condominium. I stayed in a condominium for $130 a night. Magnificent in the city of Charlotte. Man, listen, it was my grandson walked in and said, this our new house? I said, for now it is. They didn't want to leave. We got ready to leave. They said, Daddy, why are we moving? It was gorgeous, man. They treated me like a king. And so I went down and said, listen, I have a little bit of a problem. They had a little thing, said, you know, we'll make your stay, blah, blah, blah. I went down and Marriott property. I said, listen, I'm not happy because one side of the suite, the temperature was never, you know, climatized. They said, Mr. Mitchell, we'll take care of it. Deducted a full night's stay. I ain't no travel agent. I go online. And then if you talk right, and stand up there, you know, and pretend, you know. If you may not be VIP, but ask for it. I came in, I said, where's the VIP parking area? Because I don't want people to be bothering my Bentley. The man said, you got a Bentley outside? I said, oh, yeah, but I need to hide it. And they were just as nice. But you have something. When you walk into a place, don't you ever forget who you represent. You are God's ambassador. And walk in like that. Walk in and say, good afternoon. It is y'all privilege to have me here. My wife says, you so crazy. But they laugh, and the little fella said, who are you? I said, oh, sir, I can't tell you that because I said, in fact, we'll have to wait till these other people leave the counter before I check in and give you my name. And then the other people start looking. He thought I was kidding. I waited. He said, I'm ready. I said, no, they got to leave. I played it all the way out. I said, I can't pull my black card out in front of these people. And they just laughed, and they treated me the whole week. They treated me like a king. They said, how you doing, Mr. No Name? I said, that's good. See, that's what you do. You're God's ambassador. You bring something everywhere you go. Everywhere you go. Don't you think that your only Christian value is when you sit in a pew on Sunday? No, you carry it to your job. You carry it to the restaurant. You ever, and listen, I went to that football game yesterday and put park, I took my little car, you know, and parked over there. The guy said, you can't park right there. I said, I'm a VIP, sir. They've authorized me to park there. He said, oh, okay. Never bothered. I parked right by the stadium. I said, I'm a VIP. They've authorized me to park. He said, oh, okay. The whole time I was there, I said, I hope they didn't tow my car. I don't go back out there, my car gone. And it was right there. But, you know, I never stopped being God's chosen. Y'all laughing, but I'm telling you, try this lifestyle. You've been called to this. When you walk into any place, don't stop being who you are. You are a royal priesthood all the time. Don't ever let anybody take from you what God has given to you, because they have no right to do so. Whom the Lord has blessed is blessed. And you don't have to live beneath the privilege of blessedness. Amen. Some of you have gone to lunch with me. You know, every time when we walked in Cracker Barrel the other day, what did I ask? Put me in the VIP section. The girl laughed and she said, okay. I said, that's not VIP. So we walked up and Reverend got a little tired. Reverend said, well, where are we going? I said, it's the VIP section, Reverend. Didn't I do it? Every time anybody else been with me, I always ask for VIP. I said, listen, I'm VIP. I need to put, the folk won't bother me. They laugh. But they treat me different the whole time. You know why? I'm a royal priesthood. I'm God's servant. I ain't walking in my head down. If I didn't have no money, I'd still order food. Okay. You know why? I trust God. I'm telling you now, it's your time. And you have to believe. See, listen, the question has been asked. But now you need to answer, whose report are you going to believe? Don't you want to believe what God says about you? It's right here. This is your manifesto. This is what you use. No, nobody's going to care in the end where you worked, how much money you made or did not make. Even your family wants to believe you're going to heaven. Even those of us who live in places with heathens and deal with people who are unbelievers want to give them the chance to go to heaven. Nobody's going to care. There's not a heaven for people who work in the school system or in manufacturing or in whatever. There's only one heaven. There's one Lord, one faith, one baptism. And all of us want to believe that this book is true. Come on now. So don't live beneath the promises are here. And they're for you, every one of you, to the believer, to him that believes. That's all you got to do. You don't have to stand on your head. You don't have to get drenched in oil. You don't have to have anybody speak no tongue over you. You just need to open up this book because God is talking to you. And say, Lord, what are you saying? Lord, what are you saying about my family? What are you saying about my health? What are you saying about my prospects? It's in this book. And God is saying to you now, are you going to trust me? You can't keep quoting the proverb. You can't keep saying David said. What are you going to say? David shouldn't be the only one saying the Lord is my shepherd. Solomon shouldn't be the only one saying trust in the Lord. Jeremiah shouldn't be the only one with fire shut up in his bone. Isaiah shouldn't be the only one saying, send me, I'll go. Elijah shouldn't be the only one that would trust a widow to take care of him. Y'all ain't talking to me. I'm telling you now, you made it this far to do something greater. Every one of you. Ma'am, I don't know you, but you came in here today, but I'm here to tell you it applies to you as well. You don't have to be a disciple in this church. You're God's disciple everywhere you go. And thank you for being with me today. But I'm telling you now, don't sit here and say, ooh, I wish I was in this church. No, I'm talking to you now. Whatever church you belong to, you'll be leaving there soon to come with us anyway. But you know, I'm just saying, nobody in this room God bless you. I love Mrs. Woodson. She's our senior statesperson. She ain't too old for this. Somebody looking at her, yeah, that man up there telling you all that foolishness about being pregnant and delivering. Child, you 90-something years old. She said, know what? I got faith. Come on now. Y'all know I'm not talking about a physical pregnancy. Me and Brother Thomas and Brother McKenzie and Larry, we can't be, God help us if we can get, oh, Father. We going to make money on it. I can tell you that right now. We going to be on everybody's show. Oprah, I'll even go on Ellen. Much as I don't like, I'd go on Ellen if I was pregnant. I'd go on Ellen. I go on Dr. Shoot, Tupac Shakur. Listen, I go everywhere and be like, yeah, how much y'all paying me to tell how this happened? Yes, sir, I'm going to be glad. But you know, I'm talking about a spiritual thing here. We live by the Spirit. The Corinthian letter, Paul said, the Spirit searches all things and believes all things. That's all you got to do. Listen, it ain't about whether or not you like me or nothing like that. Or trust me. I need you to trust this. I know a lot of y'all don't like me. That's all right. That's your fault. I'm wonderful. Amen. A lot of people don't like me. I've learned to live with that. But they're missing something wonderful. Not liking me. Because I'm something. Woo, look at here. Honey, don't get me started. I can tell you now. No, I'm serious. I'm fun. I laugh. I clown. Anybody ever hung around me know that boy is crazy. Amen. He ain't got no sense. But that's how God made me. That's part of my gift, to make people laugh. And, you know, when Audrey, before she retired, I'd have her cracking up in there. Audrey would be beet red when she left here. People say, has he been hitting on you? He said, no, that boy, he'd say the craziest thing. But you know what? That's how God made me. But in all of that, before the foundation of the world, he knew exactly how to make Leroy, how to make Larry, how to make Starling, how to make Susan, how to make Marion. God, and you know what? Whatever God does, he does well. You ain't no mistake. Now, some of us have let sin corrupt our character a little bit, but God will fix that too. That's why he lets you live every day. Yeah. How many of y'all saw the movie Karate Kid 1? Mr. Miyagi and Danielson. One of my favorite lines in that movie is when Mr. Miyagi look at Danielson and say, Miyagi, have a hope for you, Danielson. That's what God said to you every day. God said, I still believe you're going. You know why? Because God writes the story from the end. God knows just how you're going to finish. God knows your last day, your last word, your last breath. But he writes it and says, now, come on. God is standing at that finish line saying, come on. Yep, you failed right there in 68. Yep, you messed up in 72. You messed up six times in 75. You messed up the bicentennial year. But you know what? God says, come on. Every one of you. That's why the Bible said, therefore laid up for me. Y'all ain't shouting like I thought you would. You don't have anything to be ashamed of if you believe this. I believe all of it. That's why when people make mistakes, I don't judge. Bible said they're going to make mistakes. Bible said temptation is coming to everybody. Amen. You might have 10, 15 good years. You ain't drank no liquor. You ain't stole nothing. You ain't lied on nobody. But trust me, keep on living, because there's a thing called today. Y'all ain't talking to me. Everybody makes mistakes. Bible says all have sinned and come short. That's everybody. Look at the name and say, yep. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Said I wasn't going to tell nobody, but they found out anyhow. That's how the song ought to go. Yeah. Said I wasn't going to tell nobody, but I couldn't keep it to myself. You ain't have to tell it, they'll tell it. You know that old song, you can't tell it, let me tell it. And what folk tell, they add a little yeast to it, don't they? You wind up saying, wait a minute now, it wasn't all that. By the time you get where you ought to be and leave where you was, you wouldn't have gone from stealing $5 to stealing $500,000. And you say, well, if I'd have stole that much, you think I'd have still been here? Let me tell you something. This is all you need. Don't miss your moment. Because God is saying to you, even right now, I trust you. There are jobs you will never get. There are background checks you'll never pass. This says, to him that believeth, And what I need you to understand, I'm almost finished. I've had a great time. Let me get my screen to come back. I was trying to help y'all today. What God is saying to you right now is, it's September. It's the first Sunday in the delivery month. Will you press on? Every mother in this room will tell you that no matter how you deliver, you got to do a little work. You got to do a little work. You know, I've heard people give the description that they walked right into the living room and the baby just fell out. No, that I don't know too many people like that. I've heard that story, but you got to push. They teach in the thing called Lamar's. They teach you how to push, teach how to breathe, how to control your breathing and all that kind of stuff, because to deliver something is going to take some effort. That's why we can't get lazy now. God let us live to the ninth month because he trusts us to deliver. There are some people who are going to look at you and say, you crazy. I wouldn't deliver in that hospital. I wouldn't deliver in that ministry. I'd have had my baby somewhere else. You said, no. This is where God told me to go. This is where God told me to stay. And until God promotes me, until God transfers me, I'm going to give it all I got right here. There are people who say to you, are you still work there? You should have left a long time ago. Are you still putting up with him? Are you still putting up with her? You could do better. Well, I don't want to do better with man's blessing or under man's instruction. I want to do better under God's instruction. And if God tells me to stay in Lodabar, I'll stay. If God tells me to stay and have to fight my way through, I'll stay and fight. David got in the biggest trouble of his life because he did not go to war. Come on, y'all know the story. If you don't know, I'll tell you very quickly. The only reason David was able to look over that balcony and see Uriah's wife is because he wasn't where he should have been. Bible said the men had gone to war and the king stayed, but he should have gone. And some of you are going to be able to deal with this in your own way because there are places you should have gone that you didn't go and you got in trouble, but God's going to give you another chance. Y'all ain't talking to me. I trust God with his timing. But I believe this. The Bible says our steps are ordered by God. You didn't live this long. You know, sometimes you think you came in on the tail end of things. Sometimes you think you might have missed your moment. But God's timing is impeccable in the life of everyone. And let me ask you this question. How many of you have ever considered this thought, this mindset, that you wish even right now, and I need you to talk back to me. How many of you sitting in this room right now wish, pray, hope that you could have done better back then so you could be better now? Amen. Amen. But look at God's timing. Look at God's timing. I'll just use me. I'll tell you now that I pray to God every day that I wish I had better sense back then. I could be a better preacher if I had done it then. If I could be a better father, a better husband, a better son. But look at God's timing. Oh, that was close. That was close. Thank you, Jesus. Let me back up. You need to file a lawsuit against me. God never, ever too late. Every one of you in this room should have a testimony that says, boy, I wish I had back then. Wish I'd have been a trustee earlier, a deacon earlier. Wish I'd have preached earlier. Wish I'd have sung earlier. Wish I'd have been in the church all of my life, not the last 10, 15 years of my life. Wish I had gone to more Bible studies. Wish I had, you know, come on. You have to know that God's timing is wonderful. And you can't live in the past because the past is being created faster than your future. Amen. You got more past than you know you got future. Y'all ain't talking to me. That's why you can't live in regret. You have to realize that what God is doing is right now. Right now. Listen. Oh, God, help me. The Bible said the eye hath not seen, the ear hath not heard. That's true. There's nothing we can do about that. It is a reality of living. But the key to it is what God has prepared. You can't stop me. Look at your neighbor and say, you can't stop it. You may not like me. You may not think I'm worth it. You may not want to see me get it, but you can't stop it. The eye has not seen. The ear has not heard. It has not entered into the heart. Nobody knows what God is doing, not even me. And he's doing it to me. God, I wish I had some help. I don't know how many times you prayed it, but I prayed many times. God, show me your plan. Show me what you're doing so I can position myself. And God said, you'd mess it up. How many of you are willing to admit that if you knew the true worth of your life, you'd mess it up? If you knew how much money you were going to accumulate over life, you'd have tried to spend all of it early. If you knew how healthy you were going to be in your old age, you'd have wasted your youth. If God showed you a blueprint and said, you're going to live to be 95, when you were 25, 35, 45, you'd have kicked it hard because you said, well, I already know I'm going to make it to 95. Anything I do right now, I ain't going to stop none of that because God doesn't promise me. Come on, talk to me. That's why he won't let you see. If God said, listen, over your lifetime, you're going to have $7,395,000. You done went and tried to get a Bentley, a house with 90,000 square feet. You say, oh, I got the money. It's coming. You'd have been like Leroy Thompson. Money cometh, money cometh. You'd have messed it up. You'd have said, and you know what you would have kept saying? Lord, you promised. Lord, you showed it to me. And you know God won't lie. Y'all ain't talking to me. Don't let me be excited for you for nothing. God said, nobody knows where your greatest gift's going to come out at. And let me tell you something. Don't you think that your best has already passed you by. Don't you do it. Don't you do it. As I said, I love Doris Woodson. But I see in her the greatest that God has to offer. You ever sit down and talk to Doris Woodson? Oh, you'd have a ball. Just as sweet as she can be. But she's going to tell it like it is. And she ain't going to tell you that she was perfect. She ain't going to act like she ain't never had no thoughts or no crazy. But she will sit down with you. And I see nobody could have told her when she was 30 years old that Doris Woodson, you'll be the senior matriarch of Greater Brookville Church. They didn't even know it was going to be a Greater Brookville. It was a Brookville Baptist. They didn't even see this coming. And there's still people that don't believe us for what we say we are. The eye has not seen. And I ain't crazy enough to think that all of this is because of me. I'm going to get out of the way. The next guy coming. You can count on that. Because it's God. And you and I need to understand that when God trusts us with our now, we have to be faithful to that. We can't sit around and go, well, when the next generation comes, they'll take care of that. No, they won't. We don't even know when they're coming. We don't know how long it's going to be. The Bible says God pray that they won't have to tarry. Pray that our flight don't come in the winter. We don't know, but we can pray it. But now that it's my turn. One of the greatest lines in history, and it will always be recorded, when Ronald Reagan got shot, Alexander Haig stepped up to the microphone and the press corps asked him, said, Mr. Secretary, who is the president right now? He said, as for right now, I'm in charge. And that's what you got to believe. You got to believe that you are the senior trustee now. You're the best deacon now. You're the best up and coming. And whenever the opportunity comes, you got to step up to the mic and say, I got this. Somebody said, well, where's the pastor? I don't know, but I got this. It's time for us to get started. Y'all ain't talking to me. Principal don't show up. Somebody said, we got to make a decision. Say, well, right now, I got this. Let me see. I'm senior around here. And you just got hired. Well, ain't nobody else here to make no decision. We Humpty Dumpty done fell off the wall. We got to find all the king horses and all the king men. Where they at? I don't know. But let's get a recall going. Y'all ain't talking to me. Don't you know you still alive today because God trusts you with this? You can't keep looking around going, where's everybody at? Don't worry about where they at. Where are you now? You going to sit there and watch the house burn down and the water hose right there? Humpty Dumpty done fell off the wall. Let's go. Got egg yolk everywhere. If we can't put them together, let's call for breakfast. Y'all missed that. Amen. Let's eat well. Well, Humpty, we appreciate your sacrifice. All we need to do now is find a pig that done made a mistake. Don't let Porky Pig walk through here right now. You understand, this is your time. You are it right now because the eye has not seen. Don't let nobody downplay you. Get over your fear. What is there to fear? Nothing. God will use you. Ain't no such thing as you haven't been here long enough. No such thing as you've been here too long. God will use you because you are what God is calling for. Every one of you. You think to yourself, well, Pastor, No. Let me tell you where the worst doubt is. Self. That's the word. I've said this to you since I've been here. Don't let me want more for you than you want for yourself. If I can dream big for you, you ought to dream big for yourself. And if you can't, at least take what I said. Go back to the Lord and say, Lord, the pastor said. The Bible has reeked with those testimonies of those who said, well, the prophet told me. That woman who left the well, that's all she did. She went back and said, that man told me. She didn't say, I dreamed it, I visioned it. She said, I met a man who told me something. So if you don't believe for yourself, believe what I just told you. It's your turn. Take full advantage of it. You are not the lesser. You are the greater. You're not meant to be behind nobody. You're meant to be out front. Every one of you in this room, you made it to September. That's the ninth month. And in the ninth month, everything got to come to pass. If you're human, you know, now elephants and dogs and cats, they deliver cycle different, but you're human. And we know what the ninth month means. How many of you ever looked at a pregnant person and said, how many months are you? They make me sick when they talk about weeks. I'm 29 weeks. I don't ask you about no weeks. Talk to me in months. I can't do them. That's what we had. How many months are you? How many of you ever looked at a person and thought they were pregnant? And said to yourself, should I ask? No. You know what? Y'all laughing, but let me tell you something. There are times when you just look like you're about to deliver something. And people look at you with expectation. They say, you think? No, I don't know. But God bless you for looking like you're about to bring something. That's where I feel about life. That's where I feel about being with God. I always want to make people wonder, what's he going to do next? What's he getting ready to do? And not in foolishness, because my faith drives me. I told y'all, every Sunday, every Saturday night into the wee hours, because I don't sleep much, I pray, God, when I come out there tomorrow morning, I just believe the room going to be full. Lord, I just believe that more than 18 people are going to do this sacrificial thing. Lord, I just believe that the day is coming when we're going to surprise even ourselves. That's just my faith. I walk in this building when nobody's here and touch and agree with myself. Amen. Y'all looking at me funny. I just believe God. I walk around this church by myself. And the Bible says everywhere you plant your foot, I've walked through this whole building just saying, Lord, you said. That's all I say to him. I don't tell him what he said because he know what he said. You ain't never got to remind God of what he said. God knows what he said. God is not schizophrenic. I have walked around this building, not trying to emulate what they did at Jericho, but trusting God for what he'll do now. Because I don't have to keep looking back to trust God. I trust God now. I've touched every microphone y'all sing in. I've laid across those pews in the choir. I went in that sound room. I've been in the basement, in the furnace room, because I trust God. Y'all ain't talking to me. And I keep saying to him, Lord, I don't know when, but I know you will. Y'all ain't talking to me. I trust him. And when September came, the Holy Spirit said it's delivery time. Y'all ain't talking to me. Don't you live beneath your privilege in this delivery season. God is doing stuff in your life every day. No. Thank you, Brother Beverly. Every day. Somebody ought to at least signify back to me. Every day of your life, God is proving life in Christ Jesus is a good life. That's why when the writer says, if it had not been the Lord. How many of you know your enemies want to see you fall? They wanted your marriage to go bad. They wanted your children to go to jail. They wanted your car to break down. They wanted your house to fall in on you. They wanted your health. People hate you. Not necessarily because of where you work. Not because you got pretty hair or handsome suit or kids. They hate you because you know God. Didn't Jesus say that was going to happen? He said they will hate you because of me. And that's really why they hate you. Don't think it's your job. Don't think it's your little raggedy car. Don't think it's your little house. They hate you because you know God. And they keep seeing God elevate you and protect you and heal you and deliver you. And they hate it because you still keep going up to that raggedy church. You still keep singing in that raggedy choir. You still keep giving your money up there. You still keep listening to that crazy preacher. And they hate you because you won't turn back on God, but press your way. Stay with him. They look at you and go, got him. Me sick with all that lifting hands. Make me sick with those prayers. They won't quit on God. They saw others leaving and thought, okay, won't be long. Won't be no Brookville no more. But they keep driving by saying, God darn it. There's still cars in the parking lot. They still going to Bible study. I thought if I talked against them, I thought if I rose up on them, I thought if I scandalized enough, I thought if I prayed against them. But how many know God will make your enemies pray for you? Even when they hate you, when they call your name, God said, that's mine. Because he said, I know the plans I have for you. And regardless of your enemy's desire that you collapse, that your marriage go bad, your hair fall out, that arthritis take over. God has said, I know the plan. And they're not by committee. They're not up for vote. They're not up for discussion. Whom I bless. God, I wish y'all could feel it like I do. That's why I keep coming. That's why I preach like I do. That's why. Because I trust God. I don't preach to y'all. I'm just talking to God and y'all listening. All I'm doing is telling that little story I know. So I say, he cry. He get all emotional because I love him. I done been called a crybaby by bigger folk than you. But that's all right because my tears have value. My hair done fell out. That's all right. I was born with a whole lot of it, but I knew it wasn't going to last. My steps ain't as long as they used to be. But that's all right. I can take my time and enjoy my journey. I don't run like I used to, but I'm still going somewhere. I trust God. And doesn't matter who else want to trust him, I trust him. I've tried to vouch for my house, but I got to trust him. I've tried as for me in my house. I've tried praying and laying hands on my children, but I still have to trust him for myself. Because whatever God's going to do in them, all I got to remember is to God be the glory. Amen. My children break my heart too. My marriage ain't perfect. I've had bills. My credit score changed. I've been turned down. I've been sick. I've been tired. I'm getting frustrated. But to God be the glory, because I trust God. Don't nobody want to talk to me sometime. Don't nobody invite me to lunch. All my buddies ain't my buddies no more. I trust God. I trust God. Deacons don't like me. Trustees don't want to talk to me. Preachers act like they don't know me. I trust God. Amen. Here he go again. What he doing now? I trust God. Amen. And you need to trust God too. Because this is your time. Here's what I know about God. The Bible says that we're all in this thing together. The head ain't no better than the shoulder, the neck, or the collarbone, and none of that. All of us are jointly fitted together. So everything you bring is necessary. Amen. I trust God. Oh, my time is up. Got excited there for a moment. But y'all, listen. You all have to realize. You need to realize this. I've been trying to help you for the last 30 hours or so. You need to realize that you are still alive for greatness. That God would get a greater glory. That your testimony would be magnified. You need to walk into places and people say, I didn't know you were still here. You need to go and shock some people that you still trust in God. They say, well, after you lost that last job, you still, yeah, honey. Child, losing that job was the best thing could have happened to me. When your husband left or your girlfriend left or whatever happened, and they look at you and say, well, you still, yeah, honey. Child, when they repossessed that car, that saved me $622 a month. Now I got me old jalopy. I don't pay but $98. Me and J.D. buy a ride to get along just fine. Y'all ain't talking to me. See, because some of you look at loss the wrong way. I'm serious. Some of you look at setback the wrong way. You look at no the wrong way. You look at denial the wrong way. I trust God. You know how many times my loan got turned down before I finally got approved to build a house? I went in the Bank of James, went in the Bank of America back when they were Bank of America, went in the Sovereign, all them banks, and they said, oh, no, no. And I kept saying, come on, God. God said, I know. You know, let me tell you something. God does not have to explain himself. You know what God said to me more than anything else? I know. I said, God, you told me. He said, I know. He said, but I told you your steps are ordered by me. You just ain't going to the right place yet. Y'all ain't talking to me. And one day I walked in the SunTrust. Really, let me tell you something. God has a way. Old folk was right. The Lord moves in mysterious ways. I was driving up Old Forest Road, and I said, I didn't know they had a SunTrust office over here. I turned around, went in there, and they said, can I help you? I said, yes, ma'am. I'd like to apply for a loan. She said, well, come on and have a seat here. And I sat down. And she said, you plan on buying, building? I said, I'm planning on building. She said, you have blueprints or anything? I said, I just happen to have some in my car. She said, well, let me look at them. I went out to my car. Didn't hear no mysterious voice saying, this is the place. Didn't feel no shaking or shimmering in my spirit. Wasn't quaking or baking. I went in and laid them out. She said, oh, that's beautiful. She said, that is very nice. Oh, this is very nice. She said, who drew these for you? Nothing from the Holy Ghost. I told her, and I'm sitting there thinking to myself, mm-hmm. And she said, well, let's get started. She sat down. She said, what's your name? And I gave it, and we sat there all of about 15 minutes. And she said, is your wife available to sign your application? I said, no, ma'am. She said, well, you go ahead and get her to come inside while I take me a little coffee break. I said, you didn't, she said, no, you didn't hear me. Have your wife come in and sign while I'm taking a little coffee break. Y'all missing it. You know what she was saying? So she walked over yonder. I had Miss Mitchell come inside and sign. And she came back. She said, I'm sorry I missed your lovely wife. I said, as am I. And she clickety-clicked a few more times. And she said, well, she said, we talked a little bit. And she said, well, congratulations. You've been pre-approved. I said, excuse me? She said, oh, yes. She said, a rather handsome amount, I might say. I said, how handsome is it? She said, you have $350,000 to use. I said, bless God and hallelujah. She said, you are a funny man. I said, and as are you, my dear. And how much is your lunch going to be today? Just like that. And when I got in my car, nothing aching, baking, or shaking, I got home, told Ms. Mitchell the good news. She said, what? I said, oh, yeah. I said, honey, this is crazy. And I laid down that night and heard God said, I know. He said, you forgot to say thank you. But I know. He did. Oh, yeah, I heard the Holy Ghost say, you forgot to say thank you. I did. I was really overexcited, I reckon. But I trust God. I'm not alive for nothingness. And neither are you. You know what I heard God say? God said, whatever I've done for others, I can do it for you. But just like they trust me, you got to trust me. That's why there's no envy, no jealousy. Because all you got to do is say, Lord, I saw you do it before. Lord, what you've done in the others. And he may not do it just like he did it in them for you, but he'll do it in you like it's made for you. Amen. Every one of you have lived longer than somebody thought you would. Y'all ain't talking to me. I'm going to keep going because I feel it. Every one of you in this room have lived longer, greater, stronger, wiser than anybody thought you would. Some people have looked at you and said, you shouldn't be a deacon. You shouldn't be a trustee. You shouldn't be making the kind of money you make. You shouldn't be getting married. You shouldn't have that kind of job. And you can look at them and say, God said. You ain't got to explain it. You can tell them, I don't know why God doing it either, but God said. I don't know why God trusts me like this, but God, y'all ain't talking to me. Every one of you in here should have blown your own mind once or twice in your lifetime. Because that's how God is. That's why character after character looked at God and said, I'm not worthy. Every now and then in your humility and in your honesty, you ought to say to God, Lord, I'm not worthy. And then before you walk away, say, but go ahead and do it anyhow. That's what I tell God all the time. When I walk in my house, when I look at my grandchildren, I have 8 grandchildren. 8. That's what I say. But I look at them and say, Lord, I'm not worthy. I didn't always treat my wife right. I didn't always treat my children the best. But I got 8 grand. You know what God is saying? I trust you with more. They all look at me and say, Grand. They want to call me Papa. I say, no, call me Granddaddy. That sounds good to me, Granddaddy. That Papa stuff sounds like we homies. No. No, I'm granddaddy. Y'all call your grandma whatever you want to call it, but I'm granddaddy. I'm going out like that. And they come and say, hey, granddad. I said, what's up, man? You know why? Because I never saw it. Y'all ain't talking to me. The eye have not seen. The ear, y'all ain't talking to me. It's September, y'all. It's the ninth month. It's delivery time. You got a chance now to bring something that God didn't trust anybody else with. Not everybody can be pregnant like you've been pregnant. Not everybody can carry it the full term like you carried it. Some folk walked away from it. God looked at you and said, oh, yeah, I got a good one now. Look at the name and say, neighbor, you are the one. Yeah. And your neighbor didn't say that like you want to say it. Just tell yourself, I am the one. I got this. God can trust me to the next level. Yeah. Anybody ever been on an airplane? They start off at sea level, you know, right there on the ground, and they start climbing and climbing. And every now and then, the pilot identifies. First, they let you know when they're above 10,000. And you can turn your electronic devices back on. And then when they get to their cruising altitude, he'll come on again. Boom. Ladies and gentlemen, this is Captain speaking. Just want to advise you that we reach our cruising altitude of 37,000 feet. Sit back and relax and enjoy the flight to wherever you're going, because we don't know where we're going either. We just plugged in some stuff, and we up here now. And when we run out of gas, we'll try to get this thing. No, they don't do that. But what they do is they let you know as they climb. You know why they do that? So you can appreciate how high you really are. And then if something, and then I say, you know, come on every now and then, and say, you'll notice we've illuminated the fasten seatbelt sign because we expect a little turbulence. Shouldn't be too much, but what we're going to do is try to climb above it. Y'all ain't talking to me. Because every now and then, the turbulence reminds you that you're not where you were. You don't experience turbulence. Y'all ain't talking to me. You ain't going to have turbulence on the ground like that. But when you up there and you bouncing around in that little box, he said, listen, we just want to know, it ain't nothing unusual. We going to climb above it or we going to drop below it, but we going to keep flying. Y'all ain't talking to me. You have to understand that as you rise, God says you are fit for the next level. Not everybody can go this high. Not everybody can go this far. Not everybody can endure the stuff that you've been. Y'all ain't talking to me. Look at your name and say, I'm fit for this. That's why the Bible says these light and momentary afflictions, all it's doing is working out in me a far greater glory. And you have to decide today that you want to get God a far greater glory. Stop being selfish. Stop trying to do it so you can be recognized, but do it so God can get some glory. Let cancer get God glory. Let high blood pressure get God glory. Let divorce get God glory. Let death get God glory. Let layoff get God glory. Whatever you do, let God get the glory. Tell your neighbor, I don't walk on easy street. I've been through the fire. I've been through the flood. Not only did I catch hell, I spent a night in hell, but God will get the glory out of everything. That's why in all my ways, I will acknowledge him. Yeah. This is your time. This is your September. All the pregnant people in the world, God picked you. Of all the candidates, and said, Lord, pick me, pick me, pick me. God picked you. And so when you look around the church and see emptiness, Brother McKenzie, when you count money and see shortage, don't get frustrated. Just remember, God picked them. And that's why I believe that I'd rather have a few folk with me than to have a crowd.